Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. The Sunday school hour, hopefully has been an encouragement to you, because even though we've been blowing the trumpet on a lot of things and warning and kind of doing a little bit of the Old Testament prophet things this month, series on how to stay positive in a negative world. Folks, listen, I hope that you, this is the kind of thing, if you struggle with this, and some people do, they just struggle with staying on the top side, they struggle with depression, they struggle with having a positive attitude, they struggle with, their spirit at times. These lessons are not just, hey, how do I fill a Sunday school for 10 weeks or 11 weeks? These things I practice. These things work. These things are King James Holy Bible. These aren't, secular, humanistic mind tricks. These are biblical principles that can help you to live with a positive heart and a positive outlook and an excitement about daily life if you'll implement these things. Now, I just want to say this because I've dealt with all kinds of people all through my ministry. But if somebody's just determined to always be in a bad mood, there's nothing I can say from this pulpit to change that. You know, some things have to just be confronted inside of you. You know, if you're just going to hold on to negativity, then everybody in the world can surround you and give you every reason not to, and you're going to walk in every Sunday with a negative, critical attitude. And you know what? I'm sorry. That's not my problem or anybody else's problem. That's really your problem. But listen to me. Listen to me. There's help. You don't have to live that way. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to live on the victory side. And so I hope that you'll take these things and plug them in. Because, the way I view my pulpit ministry is this, and I want you to think about, there's a pulpit ministry and there's a pew responsibility. And the pulpit ministry is to get up and teach the Word of God. But then your responsibility is outlined in the book of James, where God tells you, don't be just hearers of the Word, be doers also. And you have to be willing to take biblical principles and implement them into your family, into your life. And if you do that, I'm going to tell you something, folks. A bad day in my life is still a really good day. Okay? And, bad things happen to good people, and you're going to have to face trials and tribulations, and you're going to have, things go haywire from time to time. But you know what? It doesn't have to drag you down to the depths of despair. Because I believe God. I love that story where the Apostle Paul is sitting on a ship in the middle of a Euroclydon, a hurricane, and the ship is being destroyed underneath his feet, and he stands up and says, "Be of good cheer, I believe God." And you say, the man's delusional. He believed God and everybody on that. He said, you know what? God said everybody on this ship's going to be okay. He didn't say the ship was going to be okay, so get ready to grab something. But he said, everybody on this ship's going to be okay. God showed up last night and told me. And, one of the things we're trying to do is come to the pulpit. Yes, warning against some of the things that we see that I believe is increasing the spirit of Antichrist in our nation and around the world to prepare for the tribulation period, prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, prepare for these things are going to happen. But I don't also want you to just, get into negativity. And I think that, yes, I can be aware of all these things and see the signs. But to me, that just puts more of an excitement inside of me, because I know that in the last days, folks, we have a great opportunity. And you know what? Jesus might come back this year. And folks, listen to me. He might not come back for 10 years. I don't know, and you don't know. But you know what? Whether it's this year or 10 years, I want to be found busy. And right now, there's so many. I'm giving you a little pep talk here before I get started. But right now, there's so much despair and negativity in the world. That if you go out there and knock on a door and you got a smile on your face and good news to share and a positivity about you, it's almost like people are like, how do I be you? Come on, listen, how do I be you right now? I wish I could have that. Well, let me tell you how you can be me. Because I wasn't me before I met Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let me tell you who can change your entire outlook on everything and help you to see the even the negative circumstances in a positive light. And you know what? God's given us a job. And no matter what the devil does to try to get the whole world off its game, we're not getting off our game. We're going to stay doing what God's called us to do, and we're going to do it with a spirit of victory and excitement, and take that out there into the world. Because if you take that to work with you, what I just said, you take these principles, put them in your life, and it starts transforming you, you know, and then it's going to increase your ability to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think validate your testimony and your witnessing. And so hopefully we'll add to that. Now, the lesson for today, Philippians 4:13. Did I tell you where to? Philippians 4:13. This is my mother's life verse, and I've told this story here before. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My mom was the pastor's wife here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Dad, for those of you who don't know, Dad founded the church. I was with Brother James Young. He's over at Brother Gerald Clancy's preaching all day today. But I went with him down to Jasper yesterday, and we were talking about looking at buildings and property and every possibility and looking at different things. And he said something about a house. And he said, well, yeah, there's a piece of property for sale, but it's got a house on it. I said, hey, churches have been started in house before. I said, I'll tell you one that I know that was started in a house. Blessed Hope Baptist Church was started in a house. So all these years later, you know, mom, while she was the pastor's wife here, she had a life verse. This is it. I can do all things. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And people in our church being kind and to the pastor's wife, once they found out that she liked that verse, they would buy things. Anybody would see Philippians 4:13 on almost anything. They'd seem like they picked it up and handed it to mom, and pretty soon it was everywhere in our house. Now, this is awesome, because you know what? Because folks would be kind and do that for my mom, it was like I grew up surrounded by this verse. And you know what? I don't know. I mean, thousands of times while I'm eating breakfast, there it is on a wall. You know, if I'm sitting in the living room, there it is on a plaque or on a plate or in the kitchen. Or, you know, there's something hanging on the wall. I'm going to tell you something. I think that transformed my thinking just growing up, because I just believed it. I believed that if there was the right thing to do and it was God's will to do it, that I can do it through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to give you this principle. Success comes in a can. Success comes in a can. God wants you to be successful. I want you to understand that success is not a bad word. It's a Bible word, okay? But it needs to be defined biblically. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So success has to be properly defined, biblically defined. And God said this, as a Christian, as a believer, I filled the Bible with biblical principles that if you'll follow them will help you to be prosperous and help you to be successful. Not just, you know, we think about those words and what we tend to think because we're Americans, and Americans are so materialistic, is that we, all of us, all always think of prosperity and success in relationship to materialism. And I think that is one of the things that God is addressing, but that's not the only thing. Folks, could I remind you of this? The most important things in life are not things. And you know what? You can be moderately successful from a materialistic viewpoint, monetary viewpoint, but amazingly successful and prosperous in your marriage, in your family, in your spirit, like we were talking about, in your outlook, in the things that you're accomplishing, that's laying up treasures in heaven and reaching people for Christ. And I think God wants to prosper and bless us and make us successful in all of the endeavors that he's called us to and wants us to do. And so I want to be that. Listen, can I say this? It's not a bad thing to say this. You know, I want to be successful. Okay? I mean, you know, it would be pretty bad if I woke up every day and said, well, I hope I fail at everything I try today. Well, what are you called to do, preacher? I'm called to pastor, but I sure am hoping I can fail at it. You know, no. But it's not wrong to want to be successful at whatever God's called you to do. You know, Lindsay's got to spend the summer with us, but you know what? She doesn't want to just be a teacher. She wants to be a successful teacher. She wants to impact those kids. She wants to make a difference in their life. She wants to fulfill God's will for her and touch lives and change lives. And whatever God's called you to do, you ought to have that same outlook and say, Lord, I want to be the best I can for you. Now, that Philippians 4:13 sure is an encouragement, because it tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. We're going to take that verse and just break it down, all right? The first two words is, I can. Success requires a positive attitude. I can. That's what I just was talking about. Paul did not just have a positive attitude when everything was going well. If you look back at verse 11 and 12 and then read verse 13, it puts it all in a new light. Look back at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Then he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So you know what he was saying? He's saying, listen, I've learned to have an I can attitude when things are going well, and I've learned to have an I can attitude when things aren't going well. You know, when I'm abounding, I say, I can do all things through Christ. When I'm being abased, I can still say, Lord, with your help, I can get through this. If I get to spend some time on a mountaintop, it's great, but if God asks me to walk through a valley, then I can walk through it with an I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me attitude. I can do it. He learned to have a positive attitude in the midst, well, this is so important, of negative circumstances. When he was abounding in full, he said, I can. And when he was abased, hungry, and suffering need, he also said, I can. I love Fanny Crosby. I love the story of her life. She's an amazing woman. She was blind, but even though she was blind, she's probably the most famous hymn writer of all time. She filled the Christian world with music. Think about this, that we sing to this generation, even though she was blind. You know what? She wasn't born blind. She had something wrong with her, some kind of eye ailment. They called a doctor in who was supposed to be a doctor that wasn't a doctor, posing as one, put something on her eyes that destroyed her sight. Okay? You know how many people spend the rest of their life in bitterness over that? Think about what she wrote. This is what she wrote, even though that was a circumstance of her life. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry while on others thou art calling. I love that song. Do not pass me by. How about this old song? We don't sing this very much, but I love it. Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today. Boy, I remember Rock Run Baptist Church. They love to use that during the invitation. Buddy, I've watched people hold on to the pew, and Jesus is tenderly calling today, calling you home. Watch people let go of the pew. Hear that call. Come on home. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Rescue the perishing. How about the to God be the glory? Great. Wait a minute. She wrote, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. You mean the little girl that somebody who posed as a doctor and blinded her for the rest of her life? Okay. Now listen to me, folks. Look right up here. Everybody's got bad things in your life. Everybody. If I wanted to, I've got enough things that I could set up here and spend 2 hours talking about that if I laid it all out on you, you'd say, well, good night. Life sure has not been. No, good night. Put them all in perspective. You know, we're all going to face some things, but you got to decide how you're going to handle it. And here's this marvel. I want to read this. This marvelous woman lived 95 years, wrote over 7,000 hymns. Think of it. Nearly 100 hymns every year for 70 years. Her output would fill 14 volumes of songs, each containing 500 hymns. So if you had just Fanny Crosby songs in front of you, you'd have to have a big long, you know, not the little three, you know, you'd have to have one this long that would hold 14 hymnals with 500 songs each in them. Just the songs she wrote. That's pretty amazing. Now, listen to this. But of the thousands of poems she wrote, perhaps the most important poem was one she wrote at 8 years of age. This is the first one as far as they can find. Let me read it to you. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. to weep and sigh because I'm blind? I cannot and I won't. Now, you know what this is? This is a girl that grabbed a knife, Philippians 4:13, and said, you know what? If Paul can be abased and still say I can, then I can be blind and still say I can. I don't know what your earthly circumstances may be, folks, and I'm not diminishing the hurts of life. I realize we all have them. But you know what? Hurts can make you bitter. They can make you better. And you know what? In my viewpoint, I take the hurts of life and use them for fuel for the fire to do the right things. Okay? I mean, if I have been hurt, wouldn't it be silly and foolish of me to decide that I'm going to use that hurt to try to hurt somebody else? I mean, I just experienced. I know what that does. Why would I turn around and use it against somebody else? So I think that if you get the biblical circumstance, biblical viewpoint of life, what you do is say, all right, I know what heartache feels like. I'm going to make sure I don't spread any of that. I know what hurt feels like. I know I'm going to spend my life being a blessing. I'm going to spend my life helping people. I'm going to be a blessing. Now, you're going to face real obstacles. By the way, right now you may live in less than ideal conditions. You know, you think about this. Even our teenagers, and it doesn't take very long into life, and they experience some real heartaches. Okay? You might be tempted by the devil to use these as an excuse to fail. This is what the world wants to do, turn everybody into a victim. But I can tell you this. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You can do it. So it starts with a positive attitude. The first two words is I can. The next word is very important. I can. What's the third word? Do. Then say I can wish or I can want. It says I can do. So success requires a positive attitude, but it also requires planned action. Okay? So God says, now you can, but what you got to do is get up and do it. Okay? Slothfulness and success. Think about this. Slothfulness and success are arch enemies. In order to be successful, you've got to be self-motivated. You must be willing to add the word do to I can. Now, we're going to get to Christ. We're going to get to him in a minute. But we're not going to pass these words up on our way to Jesus Christ. Okay? Well, I'm just waiting for God to do it. Okay, there's some things you've got to wait for God on. But if you hide behind that on everything in life, there's a lot of things God's waiting on you. Okay, we're waiting on God. God's waiting on you. I think one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was this. You know what? God will do what you cannot do. But don't expect God to do what you can do. And if you'll do what you can do, what you can't do, God can make up for. But you know what? Through Christ which strengtheneth him, he's coming. But the first two elements of being successful, biblically successful, is first of all, get a positive attitude and say, I can. And then get up and do something. Get up and do something. So be sure and add that word do. Proverbs 6 warns us about slothfulness. And it tells us to go to the ant. That's interesting. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. She has no guide, overseer, or ruler. That means she didn't have a boss. There's nobody there overseeing this ant. Standing at the clock, make sure she clocks in time. Stand at the clock, make sure she doesn't clock out early. Walking around supervising. You know, it's pretty sad when an insect has more character than the average American male. God says, well, you lazy good for, go over there and sit down on the ground. You like sitting anyway. And sit down on the ground by that little ant hill and watch them and learn something. Okay, so he says, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. As an armed man. So many verses in the Bible on slothfulness. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore will he beg and harvest and have nothing. I mean, all through, I love this one. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I will be slain in the streets. And, you know, I studied that and tried to figure that out and meditated on it. Finally, it occurred to me what it was saying. You know what? A slothful person will come up with almost any excuse in the world. No matter what you say to them or what you try to challenge them or what opportunity you lay in front of them, A slothful man will come up with an excuse or a reason. And here's how ridiculous a slothful man can get. Hey, there's a place down here hiring. You might want to go over there. I heard a rumor there's a lion without. I could be slain in the streets. I better wait till they catch that lion. Well, in your life, sir, there's always going to be a lion. Matter of fact, you're a lion. A lion, a lying. Yeah. Lying to yourself. You know what? You know, I think I told you the story here a while back, but, you know, my three daughters, we had them out there working one day, and I work your kids, work them. And I was working them, slave driving them, you know. And I had one of them kept whining and complaining, talking about if we could get so-and-so to come help us, we can go, if somebody could come by, and I told them, would you walk down the lane and stand by the road and look both ways, up and down? And I said, I mean it. I want you to stand up down that road and you look both ways. And you stay there and keep looking until I call you. I let her stay down there about 5 minutes. And then I said, come here. I said, do you see anybody coming to help? No. Well, it looks like it's us. I don't want to hear another word out of you. It's not everybody else's responsibility. This is our place, our job. Get busy. Say, what are you doing? Teaching character. If you don't take your kids' excuses away, you're going to raise excuse makers. Don't let them use excuses. Because if they are always able to use an excuse to get out of work, they're going to be 25, 35, 45 saying there's a lion in the street. I can't go get a job. Okay? I like this little story. There was an elementary boy who found himself standing at the chalkboard at the end of the school day. He was there because of laziness, he showed up to school not having completed his homework. He was required by the teacher to write this sentence 100 times. I am an underachiever. Well, that would be considered child abuse today because they're little delicate psyches. We can't. I am an underachiever. Write it 100 times. After he completed this punishment, he wrote one more sentence on the chalkboard. I am not an underachiever. I just happen to be cursed with a teacher who is an over-expector. Something tells me he probably had to write 100 more sentences after that. Hey, let me tell you something. That's not a curse. That's a blessing. Thank God I had a mom that was an over-expector. Thank God I had a dad that was an over-expector. Thank God I worked for men that were over-expectors. Okay? I'm thankful for that. That is not a curse, that's a blessing. Young man, that's not a curse, that's a blessing. You know what? Your least favorite teachers when you're little are probably going to be your most favorite teachers when you get into real life. Because they're the ones that's actually really prepared you for what you're going to have to do and face in life. You know, the bosses I really didn't like the most were the ones that best prepared me for life. And I'm just saying this to a generation. I don't think we have a big problem in this church, but we have a big problem in society that we are treating our children so delicately and expecting so little that we're raising a bunch of underachievers and perpetual whiners and constant excuse makers. And somebody in their life has to look at them at some point and just say, no. Let me tell you what your problem is. That's not your enemy that does that. That's your friend. How about J.C. Penney? Is he pretty successful? If you have leaders at times seem like overachievers, you're blessed. J.C. Penney was born in 1875, the seventh of 12 children. His father was a Baptist preacher and a farmer. That's a good combination. J.C. grew up working hard, and the work ethic his father instilled motivated him later on in the business world as he built an empire of retail stores. He's credited with this quote. Listen, if I could wrap all my father's counsel into one sentence, it would be this. Get busy, son. He did okay. God commands us to be doers. God has no patience with laziness. You know what? If you want to experience good success, follow the Bible principles of diligence and hard work. Okay, let's move on. I can do, the next two words is all things. Success requires righteous discernment. Now, we can't just stop right there. All things sounds like a blank check. Does that mean that whatever we choose to do, we can do it or should do it? Are there things we should not do? Consider the three great whosoever verses in the Bible. I love these umbrella principles because they do govern us as far as you can't take this verse and apply it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Well, bless God. Then I can build a casino and become a multi. No, hold on just a minute. Hold on a minute. I can start a home brewery. Time out. Now, this isn't a blank check that allows us to do whatever we want. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I love these, what I call them, whatsoever verses. 1 Corinthians 10:31, Colossians 3:17, Colossians 3:23. Wherefore, therefore, you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. If what you are considering doing, you can do to the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus while giving thanks, and you can do it heartily as unto the Lord, then you know what? It's the right thing to do. Go at it. If not, then stay away from it. Don't participate in it, and don't try to use this verse to justify it. Let's finish. I can do all things through Christ. What does it mean to possess a Christ reliance? It means this: although I need a positive attitude and a good work ethic and discernment to choose my activities in a God-pleasing manner, if I try to succeed in my own strength and wisdom, I'll ultimately fail. Okay, this isn't a humanistic, the power is in you, all you need is you. No, we need God. We need Christ. You see, and I need the wisdom of Christ if I'm going to be a success in life. I quote this a lot. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. You can be a hard worker, but except the Lord build the house, you better get God involved. You know, I kneel here almost every single Wednesday night. And one of the things I pray with somebody who prays with me every single Wednesday night is I say, Lord, there's a lot that we're going to try to do between now and this coming Sunday. And Lord, if we try to do it in our own strength and our own power, there's nothing eternal and divine and supernatural and long-lasting that's going to happen at this church. Lord, we need you. Okay? So as we visit and as we run our buses and as we teach our Sunday school classes and as I prepare a message, God, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. So that allows God to look down and say, they're willing to do what I've called them to do, but they also know that without me, they can do nothing. And so there's a great balance there, okay? Number five, success strengthens and prepares us for future successes. I want you to notice the wording in this verse. I can do all things through Christ. Does it say, who strengtheneth me? Which strengtheneth me? Now, by the way, does Christ strengthen you to do the things you need to do? Yes. Yes, we go to other verses and teach that. But notice what it says here. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So what is that teaching here? Okay? It teaches us that success begats success. So when I have a Christ reliance and a work ethic and a positive attitude and I put all that together and go forward and I do succeed, you know what that does? That strengthens me to believe in that formula and repeat it. Which the next success then strengthens me, which strengthens me to believe in that formula and repeat it again. And you know what? You can watch people. They'll get in one or two cycles. They can get in a cycle of failure or they can get in a cycle of success. If you follow this verse, it'll get you into a cycle of success. And you know what, folks? You get to the point where your faith becomes really strong and you need to pray over something and make sure it's God's leading and make sure it's God's will. But man, when you get the green light from the Lord, it's like, I don't go into something wondering, is this going to succeed? I expect it to succeed. You know why? Because God promised it. And so when you get into that cycle of success, I'm going to tell you something. It's an exciting time, a blessed time. And, you know, it causes you to be able to and be willing to step out in faith to accomplish even greater things for the Lord. So this verse is important. There's a lot in this one little verse. And it's one of the great secrets to success. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for your love. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would guide us and direct us, Lord, as we continue to try to serve you and all that you've called us to do. I pray, Lord, that you would put your good hand and grace upon us. And Lord, I ask, Lord, for help even in these days ahead, difficult days and unusual days. But Lord, thank you for the Bible and thank you for your promises. They do not change. Circumstances of life do not alter the promises and precepts of the Bible. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.